The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And Jesus could not do no deed of power there, except what he had laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Jesus said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out demons and anointed with many oil who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, my grandfather, Grandpa Joe, who I've talked about many times, told this story, I remember, of how he joined the army. He remembers his parents being incredibly frightened. Many of us can maybe remember that day too. On a Sunday morning, upon hearing on the radio that Pearl Harbor was bombed by Japan. And now, my grandpa's father was actually a Lutheran pastor. So my grandpa Joe went to church later in the morning, and he remembered, all he could remember doing during that church service was praying for his family and for his country. And following church, this 14-year-old went outside and walked around somewhere. And in walking, he went right past a poster. And many of us can remember that, those famous Uncle Sam posters, where Uncle Sam is pointing at him. And he says, "I want you for the United States Army." And so my Grandpa Joe described the emotion that ran through him at this point. "Well, I guess," he thought, "this whole thing depends on me a little bit." And so it was at that moment that my 14-year-old Grandpa Joe said, "Okay." Now, he had to wait 3 years until he turned 17 to finally be able to sign up. And later he fought as a tank driver in the Battle of the Bulge toward the end of the war. Throughout my childhood, I always heard my Grandpa Joe talking about serving in the military and the stories of struggle and courage. And I know we have several veterans in our congregation as well. But it was rare that as a kid, I ever heard my Grandpa Joe talk about his rationale on why he came to serve. "Well, I guess this whole thing depends on me a little bit." The story that we have of Jesus being rejected in the Gospel of Mark is probably more famous in the Gospel of Luke. Luke has Jesus, if you remember, rolling out the scroll in the synagogue in Luke 3. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has brought good news to the poor." And the people in Jesus' hometown get so angry in the Gospel of Luke, they try to throw him off a cliff. Well, our Mark version doesn't have the cliff, but it does have some important parts that I think open Jesus' ministry to us in profound ways. The first is the story continues a pattern that Jesus does again and again and again in this gospel when he hits resistance from others. He does three things, usually. Jesus withdraws, and the Greek in the Gospel of Mark actually makes it very clear in verse 6. He withdrew to the other villages teaching. And then Jesus regroups. Right? So he called the 12, and then he sends out again. The story of the commissioning at the end of our reading today. Now this cycle, right? This withdrawing, this regrouping, and this sending out happens over and over and over again in the Gospel of Mark. And leads up, of course, to the greatest resistance of all, the cross. So why does Jesus need to do this pattern or practice? Well, perhaps it is because of the type of rejection that he faces. If you notice the question that the people in verse 3 ask in this story in Mark, it's very different from the question that they ask in the Gospel of Luke. Let me give you a hint. They say in verse 3 in Mark, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Notice here, Mark does not talk about somebody. Joseph. Joseph is not present. And while Joseph takes the place in a lot of other Gospels, he's a very prominent place in Matthew and in Luke, Joseph isn't mentioned at all in the Gospel of Mark. Why does the Gospel of Mark fail to mention Joseph? Well, we don't really have a good idea. Maybe Joseph was already dead by this time. Maybe Joseph gave his wife and children incredible amounts of freedom while he worked at home. Who knows? We don't know. But whatever it is, Joseph is not mentioned in Mark. But Mary is. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is named multiple times, actually, in the book of Mark. Now here's the crazy part. You would never see this lineage or this title of Jesus named or written out in any form or documentation in any cultural writings of Jesus' time. Jesus would never, ever have been addressed as son of Mary. That was ridiculous in this very patriarchal ancient Near East culture. So this actually is maybe why in the Gospel of Luke, which is written later after Mark, most likely corrects the Gospel of Mark. And the people ask, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Well, that's more like it. So why do the people in Mark's Gospel address Jesus in this highly, highly unusual way? It is probably, most likely, biblical scholars think, and I think too, an insult. What they are trying to say is, "Isn't this Mary's bastard son? Is this the son whose dad is unknown to us and who, oh, by the way, should be doing his family thing? Isn't this the bastard son who, because his dad is out of the picture, should be the one caring for his mother and his younger brothers and sisters. Oh, look, he's not. Can you imagine trying to preach the love and coming of God's reign with this garbage being said about you? I certainly can't. Thus, Jesus not only is rejected by the social structures of the day, but chooses to reject this structure entirely. If that's how you are going to define me and God's family, then I don't want to have anything to do with that. This puts Jesus and his disciples in an incredibly challenging place, right? Because the family and the home village was the safety net, was the home base, was the foundation. In rejecting this structure, Jesus was putting himself at high risk. Hospitality wasn't just a nicety, it was the difference between life and death for Jesus and his disciples, because they had no family to go back to. In rejecting the family structure of the day, the structure rejected him. You know, we don't say very often, God needs us, do we? Right? That's kind of highly unusual. It's usually the other way around, in fact. We call on the name of Lord Jesus, fill me, or call on the power of Jesus in his name to do something, right? We like to think of God, the great power or whatever in the sky, doing God's thing, and us as little peons just responding. But in this case, God's work doesn't happen if we don't welcome Jesus in. I took a class in seminary on various church styles, or what church nerds call piety, church piety. And we visited an African-American congregation in inner city Minneapolis that was filled with incredible life, but a very different form of piety, of course, than I grew up with. And following the service, and the service was like 3 hours long, and following this service, there was this woman that sat right behind me, and I talked with her, who I didn't even know. I didn't really interact with her for the entire service. But she came up to me, and she gave me this huge hug. And she said to me, she said, "Come once, you're a guest here. Come twice, you're family. I hope you can be part of my family." Is this story from Mark calling all followers of Christ to be wanderers and to break loose and to go around the world and proclaim the gospel of Christ without anything? Maybe. But I don't think so. Maybe instead, it's in fact calling us to answer the door. Jesus was without honor. He was without homeland. He was without tribe. He was without family. Thus, he couldn't do the work on his own. The 12 disciples had a huge role to play. They were, in many ways, Jesus' new family. Well, I guess this whole thing depends on me a little bit. God needs us in order to preach and model the gospel of Jesus Christ. So then what's our role? What's our role at our Savior's Lutheran Church to play in all of this? Your church council is in the very beginning stages of a conversation about our building and our facilities and how it can be improved to be a ministry to our greater community. And one of the things that is being discussed and being tossed around, which we are going to soon want feedback on, and I want to highlight Peter and Warren and Janelle and Lydia Perry, who have been a part of this committee. One of the things that's being discussed is actually to put a moving chairlift in the stairs here in the narthex that would create access to space downstairs. Not only would this be used by the Boys and Girls Club, who is coming this fall, again, they have a little boy who's in a wheelchair, but also by us as a congregation, by our family and community. And so if it comes to the question of what would it mean for us to upgrade our basement, instead of being 1,800 square feet of church storage space, to being a welcoming, multi-use, multi-purpose space for gathering, for study, for play, and for work. What would that look like for us? Would that space help us continue to create a new family in Bonner? Maybe. Maybe introducing accessibility as well as reimagining our church facility and its role in this community is our answering the door. Well, I guess this whole thing depends on us a little bit. May God grant us wisdom and courage to reject unjust ways of family and help God bring about a new family of love and of wholeness. Amen.